KLYT. This is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
One of the things I really enjoy about hosting ABQ Connect, we just said hello to Liz when she came in with Jeremiah's Place moments ago. And Liz is like family. I mean, you know, our kids homeschooled together. And now John Sondager is in studio. And I've known John not quite as long as I've known Susan Sondager, who, of course, many of our listeners are familiar with. But, you know, having friends in studio, John, it just makes it easy.
It does. It's so comfortable, Steve. And thank you for having me again.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? The work that Bible Mission Global is doing is vital. Not only is it reaching people in what you call the stands.
Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan.
That's right.
Et cetera. Yeah.
But the people that are able to serve and give towards it are blessed. Yes. As well.
Yeah.
You know, it's and for those not familiar, now John's the executive director of Bible Mission Global USA, and the website, by the way, if you want to just read through more about the ministry, go to biblemissionglobal.org. But John, what I'm seeing on the website essentially as they reach out in these areas, the plan is what I said: reaching, training, and caring.
Exactly.
And let's kind of walk through some of that. We can do that now, or if you have specific updates, I want to hear about that too.
I'll do the updates on Ukraine and Turkey, but for the audience, just a little background. Bible Mission, the overall organization, was formed almost 40 years ago in the former Soviet Union. And for the young listeners out there, the Soviet Union is what we grew up with, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, yeah. USSR. All the stands were a part of the Soviet Union. 1991, it broke up. And it's now Russia and Afghanistan and Kazakhstan and Ukraine. And people don't remember, there was East Germany was a part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
It's now Germany. So we started churches there back under Stalin. And what has happened, the intention was to turn those churches over to the Ukrainians, to the Tajikistan, the Tajiks, the Uzbeks, the Afghans, etc., which has been happening. And it's totally indigenous churches now. But they are poor. These regions are very, very poor. Most of Russia is very poor. It's not this dynamic. It's nothing like the United States.
Yeah. What is something that, you know, someone almost in the poorest parts of the United States might enjoy those that you're mentioning in Europe? That we take for granted here, that they don't have that luxury.
Heat.
Yeah.
Food. Transportation. There's no transportation.
How's the water situation?
It depends.
Yeah.
Most people, most of these villages do not have municipal water systems. They either have wells or they have a stream or a river they collect the water at. And there's a lot of widows in these areas. I mean, our area goes all the way from Moscow to Vladivostok.
Now, is that from health issues or war or both?
All the above, and economy.
Yeah.
Again, these are not rich countries. These are not economically developed countries. They're third world countries in many places. Now, not so much Ukraine or Moldova or things like that, but the stands are.
Yeah.
And there's parts of Russia that are these remote villages that are still back in the 18th century almost. You smile, but it's kind of sad. And that's why what we do is we support the church. We believe that Jesus Christ has called us to serve his bride, the church, yeah. Big C Church.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we provide evangelism training and materials, Bibles, how they can bring their people to Christ. We train them how to reach, go into their communities. Because if I'm an American and I fly over to Kuliab, Tajikistan, which is 99.9% Islam, they're not even going to talk to me. But Steve, if you're the grandson of a Tajik who's been there forever and you became a believer, you have friends there. You went right to school with them. You can relate to them. And we support those people. And then also there is the education. We have Bible training courses, so that we call it discipleship. Uh-huh. I mean, the American Christians call it discipleship, so that they can send out their own missionaries. They'll start their own churches. And then we help them build the churches and what we call hope centers. And a hope center is kind of like part orphanage, part community center, where people can come. A tragic thing is in some of these remote villages or even cities, there's a lot of widows, and many of the younger widows have to be prostitutes to feed their children. And we don't judge them for that. We hope to help them get out of that lifestyle, but we help them with their children and feeding them, etc. So it's a wonderful...
Hey, you're meeting people, John, where they are with the love of Jesus Christ. And then obviously as they're going through discipleship and they're growing in their faith, if they make a decision for Christ,
yes.
The Holy Spirit's going to work in their lives. And it's still, it's still going to be rough. I mean, there's, you know.
Yeah. If you're a Muslim, in some of these areas, it'll depend. One of three things will happen if you convert to Christianity. Number one, you'll be killed. Number two, you'll be totally ostracized. You'll be kicked out of the village, out of the home, etc.
Which could kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Steve, exactly. And third, you'll just be what we would call shunned.
Yeah.
It would be like if one of our friends decided to become a Satan worshiper. We're not going to kill them. We're probably not going to have fellowship with them, and they're probably not going to be a part of it. Those are the people that we can reach. And when they come to us, there's no strings attached. There's no like, well, if you accept Jesus, then we'll feed you. No, no. Jesus fed the 4,000, the 6,000, whatever, and I don't think he made them check their membership card at the door.
Yeah. So you're doing this outreach, and then once you've reached them, you mentioned the training that they go through. What does that entail?
Well, one of the things that we have different projects. For example, we have, for evangelism, we have the 110, where each village person agrees to reach 10 different people, and we provide them with the evangelism material, salvation packages, so on and so forth. The training is we have correspondence schools. We have training materials. They can go online. They can be sent it in. And then we will have seminars that we'll help put on. And again, when I say we put on, we help the people put them on. We give them the training. We bring in the teachers to train the teachers to train the teachers.
Right. Well, I have to imagine as this has progressed, and if it's not gotten there, it will, but it probably has, where you're seeing indigenous people there learning to teach the truth, teach the gospel, and make disciples. Are any of those churches now sending missionaries out?
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
Around the globe.
Let's say you are a small church in Dushanbe, which is the capital of Tajikistan, and your church grew and you're now a little bit older and you have a member of your church who's 30 years old, a good, strong believer who's been walking with the Lord since he was 15 or whatever, and he wants to start a church, a mission field in Kuliab, Tajikistan. So your church, you will send him out. Well, you don't have the funds to completely support him, so we come alongside you. And it's important that never are the missionaries getting paid by us. We help the churches, and the churches pay them.
Right.
I've been over there and brought groceries to a widow. I never hand the widow the groceries. I give it to the pastor, and the pastor gives it to them. Because it's the church that we're working through. And there's wonderful organizations that send American missionaries over, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But our shtick is to work through the churches.
Yeah.
And that's what's, I'm going to transition a little bit into Ukraine, for example.
Uh-huh.
At the Ukraine war, we have, in each one of these countries, we have my counterpart, an executive director with a small staff that works with the churches. So in Ukraine, when the war started, those executive directors knew who needed what, when, and where.
Right.
Our first shipment was stopped at the border and seized by the government, quote unquote government.
Yeah.
We got it back, and because of some pressure that we put on, legal, mm-hmm. but pressure. And from now on, we'll send it in to this. I'll use this as an example. Let's say New Mexico is a mission field. and you're the pastor of in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And your church has got a bunch of young women, young mothers, because their husbands are fighting in the war. They need diapers and baby food and things like that. And I'm a pastor in Santa Rosa, and my congregation is old and widows, and they need a difference. So as the executive director in Ukraine knows where to ship the supplies, how to get there.
Right.
So we have shipped over 4 million pounds of supplies into Ukraine, and we continue to do so. I talked this morning to our field director who just came back from Ukraine, and the central and western part of Ukraine is relatively calm. There's minimal bombing going on there. It's all being concentrated in the east, where they're trying to take control of that eastern border, Crimea, which they've already got.
Right.
So we're building new churches and hope centers. The other thing, it's summertime is so fun because we have summer camps. We get the children to come, and they may not be believers, and their parents may not be believers, but they get a chance to have a fun time at summer camp playing. We feed them. We have games. We'll have teaching, Bible teachings. And then at the end of the week, we'll invite the whole family there, have a banquet for them. Soccer camps, things like that that go on. And again, it's not Americans or Germans that are flying over there. We've trained the people to put on the summer camps.
Yeah.
So in Ukraine, that continues. There's still a big need because the devastation. We're having to rebuild some of the churches that we've helped build and some of the hope centers. But
the buildings.
The building.
Yeah.
It's not our building.
Yeah. What I'm saying, I mean, the church is there.
Thank you.
The people are there, right? But these, right?
The structure.
Yeah, these structures, they've been devastated.
Oh, yes.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, something, you know, I heard recently, and I mentioned here just moments ago, you know, in spite of the fact that Christ is coming into lives, their lives are being changed, but, you know, they are where they are, and they're in the midst of this piece of history, and it's not easy. But God, he didn't remove the Red Sea. He parted it so the people could go through the trouble.
And one of the biggest things that I guess we shouldn't have been surprised, but I was, at the beginning of the Ukraine war, there was an unbelievable demand, cry out for Bibles. And I use the expression, if you fall off a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean and the cruise ship sails away, who are you going to cry out for help? God help me.
Yeah.
And these people realized in this devastation where their families were being destroyed, they're crying out for help. So we shipped in 90,000 Bibles in that first part of the war. And of course, that's the opportunity to share the gospel and give them real hope. There may not be a lot of hope in the midst of that war, but the real hope is in the love and the provision of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, and that comes at a financial cost. We're going to get into that in just a minute, and hopefully there's some more update information for you. But we're going to give you vital information on how you can be a part of what's going on through the Mission Global, or the Bible Mission Global ministry. We'll get to it after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're in the middle of a conversation with John Sondager, the executive director in the United States for Bible Mission Global. And John, we talked about some of the things going on in Europe, in Ukraine, and how Bible Mission Global reaches out, trains, and the care that is given to the people there. What I do, with the time we have left, I do want to talk a little bit about the opportunity that the listener has to come alongside the ministry. Yep. What are ways they can help?
Well, quickly, let me insert our other big project that happened was
please
Turkey.
Do. Please
the
do.
Earthquake after, in Turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
And interesting, I'll use the word miraculous, the church that we're in the middle of building in what used to be called Antioch, uh-huh. which is now Antakya. Yeah.
Where they were first
exactly.
called Christians.
And that's where they were sent forth. So we're building a church there with a training center, just like Paul and Barnabas were sent out.
Yeah.
So that they can do it. Because in that area is Syria and refugees. Well, the earthquake devastated that part of it, which you saw.
earthquakes.
Yeah,
it was like every week there was another major earthquake.
Yes, I can show you two pictures that are stark. One is our church, which is a four-story church, about half done. Everything is demolished on either side of it. The church is untouched.
Wow.
The pastor's house, which is about six blocks away, on the one side of the street was a four-story apartment building. 340 people died in that building, and his house wasn't touched. So we're providing aid. And the basic stuff, especially during the winter, this happened in the winter, we would bring in tents that they could live in. I'm not talking about a little pup tent.
Yeah.
A tent with a heating stove, with everything and food and so on and so forth. But it's, a tremendous opportunity to show the unconditional love of Christ.
Right.
And the thing that we have with Bible Mission is, I'm careful how I don't want to sound too Wall Street. We have something for everybody. Mm-hmm. If you want to be involved in evangelism, you can for $10, you can get a Bible and a children's Bible that will be sent out to new believers or to help them become believers. If you want to have training materials, if you go on our website, there's different projects, okay? Some people like to help widows. In the wintertime, we have a project called Wood for Widows. In Siberia, they need wood or coal, food and everything. Then we have summer camps. We have these relief aid. And you can also help build a church or a hope center. And the important thing is that it's going to go to the people. The first few years that I was the executive director, I visited every one of these countries because they wanted me to see, and I wanted to see what's really going on. So I've been to Siberia, Moscow, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, etc. We are also in Afghanistan. There's another program there that we have to use a different name for.
Right.
And I love this one. Women are no longer allowed to be educated. Mm-hmm. However, there is a school that we started for midwives, because that is something that a woman can do, because Islam men do not want men delivering their babies. So we helped with the school. Those are all the things that can be done. And all you just go online, BibleMissionGlobal.org, look at the different projects that we're doing, and then if you want to donate, you go to the donate page, click the box that you want, Ukraine, Turkey, Bibles, whatever, and I will make sure, because I've been there, that it goes to the right place at the right time.
Well, John, I appreciate your time and coming in, and happy National Day of Prayer, by the way.
Yes. May I close with the biggest gift that these people can give is prayer.
Yeah.
Because our Father, our Heavenly Father, will hear their prayers and will see that His children, wherever they are in the remote parts of the world, will be touched.
Yeah. And we got about 30 seconds. Go ahead and close us in prayer. You can hear the music. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come alongside you, to serve you and to serve your children, your church, throughout the world, in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, in the United States, and in Kazakhstan. Father, you are a gracious God, you're a loving God, and you are showing the love of Jesus to these people in a way that talk doesn't achieve. Thank you for the people that are supporting it. Thank you for the prayers that are supporting it. And thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.